Island. You're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, continuing my conversation with Emily Hull, the director of the Sibling Support Project. You know, Emily, we left off and you were just about to talk a little bit about the kind of training that is necessary to put together a SIP shot and what's necessary in your staff.
Yes, thank you. So we welcome parents, we welcome service providers, we welcome adult siblings, really other family members, anyone who's interested in making a positive difference in the lives of young brothers and sisters. We invite you to come to our training and start a SIP shop. And what that training looks like, it's a, so for many, many years, it has been a 2-day in-person experience. And then when the pandemic struck, we really had to think and act quickly to move that training online, which is something people had been asking for, honestly, for years. And so it was kind of one of the silver linings of COVID that I talk about. Mm-hmm. So it's a 4-session experience. We talk, we do a deep dive into sibling issues, concerns and opportunities. We experience an adult sibling panel, so people can hear from adult siblings about their experiences, you know, reflecting back growing up. What did their parents do? What did providers do to really help them? And then finally, we get to experience an online SIP shop, which is a lot of fun to see how the activities work with the kids. So so that's a really, really great experience.
So this is 2 full days of training prior to the change. And now that we are in a remote format, is that spread over several days? Because the reason I ask that is I think a lot of people are struggling with how to allocate training in the new format, that people's attention spans, the way we learn is a little bit different. And that's why I have to ask you whether or not you're able to kind of do that in such a condensed way.
Yes, we thought it would be ask people to sit in front of a screen for 2 straight days for us as well. And so it's a 4-session experience. Most of them are 90 minutes. Our last session is 2 hours. But again, it's spread over the 4 days and there's a lot of interaction and we've gotten really, really great feedback about just how engaging it is and how much people learn. You know, people don't naturally think about siblings when they think about family support. And then when you start talking about siblings and what we know from the research, people go, oh my gosh, I had no idea this, you know, but it makes so much sense. So it's a really valuable training. Even if you don't want to start a SIB shop, you can attend just the first 3 days and kind of learn more about sibling experiences.
What are some of the criteria or credentials that are necessary to facilitate a SIB shop?
I always say, you know, you don't need to have any particular fancy letters after your last name or I think the greatest criteria is to have a genuine interest and passion for supporting siblings. It's helpful to know something about disabilities. It's imperative that you enjoy working with kids, that you can convey a sense of wonder and fun. You know, kids are really good assessors, right, of character, and they pretty much size you up within the first, 30 seconds. Anyone who's ever been a teacher knows this. And if you've ever been a substitute teacher, you know this too, that within 30 seconds, they know, these kids know if you're really in it with them. And so we always encourage people who genuinely enjoy working with kids to think about becoming a SIP shop facilitator.
It seems unlikely, I guess, but I imagine, well, let me put it this way. I imagine most facilitators have a connection, a personal connection to the area. I guess a parent could be a facilitator, and perhaps another SIB could be, a sibling could be a facilitator. Do you ever find that there are people who are not personally connected, but maybe are just really interested in learning more and being part of the solution that want to be part of this?
Very often we have folks who don't have any personal connection to disability or any kind of health concern, but, you know, yet they're a child life specialist, you know, in a children's hospital, or they're an ABA therapist, or they work somehow in the disability field. Or maybe they're a teacher and they're just interested because they've had siblings come through their classes and they start to realize that, oh yeah, you know, these kids need support too. So we get a whole variety of folks, which is what makes our SIB shop facilitator community so diverse and so amazing to be part of.
You know, I notice that for people who do pursue the training, it does lead to a certification. Is that a certification that the organization provides? Ultimately, do you see that being recognized by some of the other psychological or social work bodies, or where do you see that going? Where's that going to go?
So the certification is something that you receive at the end of the full training. So if you attend all four sessions online or both days in person, when we get back to in-person, which we hope will be soon. And that is your that's your certification. If you change agencies, or I always I never like the get hit by a bus scenario. But if you win the lottery and move to Hawaii and decide to live on the beach, you can do your sim shop on the beach. You take your certification with you. We have had people come through our training and receive CEUs through some of the licensing bodies that you talked about, social work or. So we're hoping that, you know, to expand those relationships and to have that certification recognized, that would be great.
That would be great. But even if in its current form, I think it's really helpful to know that it's portable. And I think for agencies that are looking to bring on staff with a real feeling and a background in the field, to be able to present that. And also, given how far-reaching the sibling shops are, that portability, again, I think is going to be very, very helpful. I can say that in my agency, Developmental Disabilities Institute, when people come in with strong training and other certifications and credentials, maybe, but certainly strong certifications, in areas that we know and respect, it goes a long way towards our willingness and eagerness, actually, to bring them on to the organization. So I, you know, obviously, as many people would be, I'm very appreciative of that. You know, I would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about some of the books and the book writing that's going on in the project. You're co-editing, your own writing. What's happening? What's happening with you and with your colleagues?
Thanks for asking. So we're really proud of the book that you mentioned, The Sibling Survival Guide, that we published a couple of years ago with Woodbine House, their wonderful publisher. And that is kind of designed as a one-stop shop for adult siblings to explore the sort of typical common experiences in childhood all the way up through issues that adult siblings experience as caregivers. And then even we talk about end-of-life issues. So it's really a start-to-finish comprehensive look across the lifespan of siblings and common sibling issues. And we came up with our themes and our topics, our chapter topics, by surveying adult siblings across the country and essentially asking, well, what keeps you guys up at night? Which is far more powerful than us kind of putting our heads together and guessing at what siblings might be interested in based on my experience as a sibling and what other people are thinking, really, really going to the source of the people we want to help and impact. And so so that has been a really, really well-received publication from adult siblings. And we're also really excited that this year we're working on a new edition of our Sib Shops curriculum. So this will be an anniversary edition that will come out in 2022. So it'll be the 40th anniversary of Sib Shops. And we are updating that curriculum to include information about online Sib Shops, which didn't exist before March of last year. So that's super exciting to talk about things like racial equity, to make sure that, you know, children of all backgrounds and especially children of color feel welcome in our Sib Shops. You know, the sibling support community has traditionally been pretty much a white middle-class community. And we recognize that the sibling experience can have commonalities and can also be different for siblings of color. And so we need to do a lot of listening and learning and building bridges to make sure that that all kids and especially children of color are supported as well. Yeah, so that's exciting.
It is. And it's so commendable that you are responsive to what the world is becoming aware of in terms of the need for greater diversity, really a global response. And given the Sib Shop's global reach, it really couldn't make more sense. I'm also glad that you mentioned the survey, because we talked a little bit during the break, Emily, about the lack of adequate research in this area, and that really it's a growing body of literature, and you're part of that. And survey is such a likely departure point for getting accurate scientifically based information. So the combination of that and the book writing that you and the agency and the organization is involved in is absolutely wonderful. This was a particularly useful and exciting show, and I'm hoping that listeners will take the ball and run with it and start building some of these civ jobs in their own communities.
Absolutely. And if folks are interested in training, you can go to our website, which is just siblingsupport.org under events.
Thank you so much. And I know I'm going to be bringing you back again. You're listening to 103.9 FM, EDI Island.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.